Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Everyone, welcome to another episode of G-Thanks Just Bought It, the podcast where we talk about what we just bought and what you might need to buy next. Today, I have a very special guest. Kate McKean is a literary agent at the Howard Moorheim Literary Agency, and she writes the newsletter Agents and Books at katemckean.substack.com, and she's also my literary agent, and you have now been, Kate, for almost, we are going on our 10th year.
Bonkers to think that it's been that long, but it's also been very fun. So I'm happy to be here and happy to be talking to you and happy to be your agent.
I'm so happy to have you here. I feel like this has been a long time coming because I did do that, like a brief Q&A once when one of the Work It Girl books was coming out. Because what ended up happening with that book, and I don't even know if I looped you in on this, like I had no idea when that came out and no one else did either. Like the publisher was like, oh, it's coming out on the 15th. But then like I went to a store randomly on the 3rd and like there it was. And I was like, am I supposed to tweet about it?
There's no law that they can't just put the books out when the box comes in.
Well, they did. And I was like, who knows? But it was out. So I made a story and I was laughing about how like, well, no one told me, but, you know, here we are. And I was saying, you know, if anyone has any questions, like I'll do my best to answer from the writer side of it. And I was just tickled by how many of these questions could be answered by subscribing to your Substack. And I'm so happy that you have that Substack because I feel like as somebody who has been working with you now for like a decade, I've asked you all of those questions and more. And now I'm realizing, oh, everyone you work with asks you all of these questions.
Everyone. And it's literally why I started the, I didn't start it so that I could have this like thing to point to and be like, yeah, I don't have to talk to you now. I can just point you here. But like, you just get the same questions over and over again. It's like, yeah, well, let me go long on this. I mean, my newsletters are not like 15,000 words each, but you know, it's like, here, let's talk about query letters. Let's talk about what an agent does, blah, 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 over and over again. And now I've done it for 3 years, which is also kind of mind boggling.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to be like, what did I say 2 years ago? And like, I need to go back and revamp stuff. And things do change, actually, even though publishing is very slow moving. But, you know, it's fun. I like talking about publishing and books. I mean, I'm happy to like my job, you know, and I just like it. So here I am. Like, I just get to do it. I chose to do it.
And you've been doing it now for almost 20 years.
Almost 20 years, if you count all the little bits of it.
I think we do count it. Do you count it? I guess is the important question.
I did the work, so I should count it, right?
You know, I agree. But
yeah. So I've been with Howard Moorheim for 16 years and then like four-ish various years of being an assistant and stuff. So
I love it.
Woof. How is that possible?
The coolest. I know. And you've been in New York the whole time.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
I never thought I would live here for this long. Yeah, because I went to high school in Long Island and I disliked it. And that is not surprising. Lots of people dislike Long Island. Lots of people love it too. But I grew up in the South and I was like, oh, I'm just going to come to New York, cut my teeth, and then go back South. And I literally picked being an agent so I would have an easier time doing that. So I wouldn't be tied to a publishing house that was headquartered in New York City. Well, 20 years later, like She Who Doth Protest Too Much, like I'm still here. And like, I could have moved to Atlanta or whatever, but I didn't because Brooklyn is great. So here we are.
Yeah. I mean, and I never thought I would leave. And here I am, not in New York. So
and then you left. That.
I know. It wasn't supposed to be like this. Blame the pandemic. It was only supposed to be a year, but this literally comes up on every show because talking about doth protesting too much, I am literally protesting constantly. But I have to say it's February. I do like the weather. So why don't we're going to jump into shopping because I want to talk about books and publishing and kind of how our story of how we came to be, because I know that this is a topic that a lot of listeners have said they're interested in, and also a topic that, like, I can answer all the questions that come in from my experience, which is sort of like just a little, and you have all the answers. So I want to get there. But because this is a shopping podcast, I have to know, you know, how has shopping looked, what has shopping looked like for you in the last couple of years, now that sort of the landscape of what we're wearing, how we're buying things, how those things are getting to us have changed? Have you become, do you still go to the grocery store? Are you Instacart happy? Like, what's your sort of routine with shopping?
I definitely still go to the grocery store. We have a car in Brooklyn, so I like go to Wegmans and I go to Costco, and like, I love it. And it's the best. I have a snack drawer in my house for my kid. And if I'm any little bit suburban mom, it is like at Costco and Wegmans. And I don't really like Fresh Direct or like delivery services, because like, I just want to pick it out myself and I feel comfortable going into stores. And so that's been fine. But like, the online shopping was out of control pandemic wise, like for so many. And I have been heavily influenced by this podcast and your Instagram. I could like point to things. Like, I'm looking around my office right now being like, what did Caroline make me buy? I have the shaver right behind me, like the sweater shaver.
Love
yes.
it.
Yeah. I had Garden Witch overalls. Like, I bought a Madewell sweatshirt with a collar that you posted the other day. That was like,
oh my
a Zoom.
Gosh. Yeah.
Super cute. Love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I got a ton of Universal Standard stuff because of you. Like, just a lot. So and
this
now
is what I
like
point, to hear.
Yeah. Now I'm at the point where I'm just like, okay, like, yeah, you know, I don't need any more clothes, but I will in the spring, but I don't need any more shoes. And so the next frontier is productivity buying, you know, just like, oh, well, I'll use this, or I need this for work, or which is the lie I'm telling myself.
Yeah.
Because like, I don't need like, oh, but skincare. Oh, because I want the giveaway. I want to give
you
away.
You did.
From the Instagram.
I was so thrilled about that. You won the Luna. The Foreo Luna pack. Yeah, yeah. The two like face scrubbers. Well, of course, yeah. I mean, if you win skincare, then obviously you have to buy more skincare so that you can, you know, use the thing that you won. I mean, that's just science. That just makes sense.
And I got the consultation with Jolie too. And so I just like, and she was super great. Oh my gosh, I need to post about it and like spread the word how fantastic she is. And definitely got some products from her. And they are awesome already. Just awesome. So I had like a form to fill out for the consultation. She's like, well, what's your routine? And I was like, bum, 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 like 1,000 things.
Yeah.
Already. Because I've heard you say this and it's been like around, like it's a hobby. Like it doesn't have to be like a medical treatment. It's like, it's just nice things that feel good on my face. Like who cares?
Yeah. Well, your skin does look excellent, I must say.
I do.
It looks wonderful.
Thank you. I'm lucky. I like genetically, I've been blessed, like skin wise, but I'm going to keep it that way. How about that?
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, I also feel like, you know, sometimes like Facebook will really like throw me one when they're like, this day 8 years ago. And I'm like, what the fuck is that? Like, it's me just looking a lot younger and like, just it's weird. Like, you know, you live with this face every day of your life and then all of a sudden you really don't like see any sort of change until you're like thrusted with a picture of yourself when you were like 25. And I'm like, oh, well, yeah. Of course.
Or like,
I look young.
Get a picture from 6 months ago and you're like, I look like my mother. And
yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
And like, my mother is wonderful and I don't mind looking like her. But when you see her face in your face and you're like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
My mom is, if you're listening, Trish, my mom is beautiful and she's aging quite well, but everyone always tells me I look like my dad's side of the family. But there have been times now it's not even a picture, it's more like the way the light hits or an angle in the mirror, and I'm like, mom, like, I'm like, oh my God. Like, I literally am like, who is that? It literally is just my mother looking at me from a mirror, but only for a split second. And then yeah. you realize like, oh, I'm like, I am the age my mother was when I was like a toddler. So yeah. of course I look like her.
I was at my sister's house once a long time ago. And I was like, why do you have this old timey picture of you on the mantle? She goes, that's Gramsie, our grandmother. And
oh
like, I legitimately mistook this picture of my younger grandmother for my sister. Wow. And I was like, did you go to like ye old timey picture day yeah. thingy?
like at Six Flags when you dress yeah, up like an old Western.
Do you know me? Would I ever do that? I was like, no, that's why I'm confused.
Yeah, during a pandemic, she went to do like a big photo shoot. That was her thing.
Yeah, long time ago, but still she was never. Okay. She would never.
That's so funny.
Yeah, I was yeah. like shocked. She looks exactly like our grandmother.
So what did Jolie, what's like the one, give a shout out to like one product that Jolie was like, oh, you should try this. And you're like, oh, wow, I'm a convert.
Okay. So retinol, obviously. And like retinol uh-huh. is confusing. And like I had had a Sunday Riley one before. And I was like, eh. It was like in oil and it was sticky. And I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. So she like, oh, sorry.
Oh, go ahead. It's fine.
No, I just think my mom is calling us on
she heard you she heard you be like
yeah I think that was like a butt dial anyway so so she was like, this is retinol, like this is what you do, this is what you need to do, you need to use it consistently, you have to get through the whole thing, you've got to use it for a long time before you see results. So she gave me natrium,
okay,
that's right, like a creamy retinol, and it's really mm-hmm. wonderful. And I should have the product name in front of me for you.
I'm looking it up right now. Have you, how long have you been using it? And when did you feel like you were like, I don't know, was there a day where you woke up and you were like, this is working?
Well, not yet, because like retinol takes so long.
Yeah.
It's retinol complex cream from Naturium.
Sorry. Okay. I'm looking at it. Cool. Okay.
Yeah. It just feels really good and it didn't feel stingy. And I was just like, yes, I can incorporate this. I will use this because it feels mm-hmm. good to use. But I will say the thing that I used and noticed a difference was that Genius Collagen stuff from that you
like. My favorite thing in the whole entire world.
Yeah. I used that and I was like, yes, that. And it smells so good and it feels so good. I'm on it.
That stuff is so crazy. And if you missed I think we talked about a lot on Instagram, especially during Black Friday, because a lot of time it went on sale, but it sold out really quickly. And so mm-hmm. I try to tell everybody when it's restocked. But it is, it's alginist, it's collagen. It looks like it's like goopy and gold, yellowish. But I swear to God, you put it on a fresh face and your skin just automatically like turns into a baby. Like it just everything just plumps to the surface. And I've never done Botox and I've never done fillers and I don't think I'm going to anytime soon. And I think part of the reason is because like, A, I am nervous about that kind of thing. And this topical collagen really keeps my like slight insecurities about different lines showing up on my face like at bay, at least for now.
Yeah.
It really works. It's crazy. Great.
It's probably the best like skincare thing I've picked up in ages. I mean, outside of like Good Jeans, like Sunday Riley, Good Jeans, which is also God level, but like
love it.
Great. And I have lots of other things I like, but those are the two things. Like, yep, those are it. Those are the rotation.
The repurchases. Yeah, I mm-hmm. love that. Yeah. I swear Good Jeans was one of those things where like if I put it on before bed, I woke up looking like 8 years younger. Like I woke up like looking young and I could see it and it wasn't, I'm not a big makeup person. I'm not a big, like, I just try to take care of my skin, but I'm not doing like full, you know, faces wherever I go. I don't even really know how to. So I can see a difference because I never really see my face. Like it's so inconsistent that I like of timing when I would see my face like look very different, vastly different from what it just looks like as a face. So when I put on Good Jeans and I wake up the next day and it's almost like layers of years have like peeled off my face, I'm like, well,
Mm-hmm.
Who needs a job? I'll just keep buying this stuff. No, that's great. I'm excited about that. And this was a virtual consultation that you did with Jolie. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
We had some emails and then we had a Zoom and it was great.
Wow. Okay. Well, I'm definitely going to, I mean, of course, everyone who listens knows Jolie, but I'll recommend and I'll put a link to how to book a consultation with her.
She's
the best. That's great. And I'm happy that you won that. That was a good giveaway. Yeah. Okay. So talk to me about productivity shopping.
Okay. So this is, okay, the first thing I'm going to talk about is this thing called Crazy Erin's Thinking Putty. And it is Play-Doh. I mean, no, it's like Silly Putty, right? The name is silly, to say the least. This came in a birthday present to my kid. And they kind of got a lot of birthday presents at once because I kind of forgot to put on the invitation, no gifts, please, because we just, like, didn't need whatever. So I hoarded them in the closet to, like, meet them out a little bit. And then I looked at it, and I was like, oh, but this is cool. And so I took it.
This one's for me. Yeah.
This one's for Mama. And it is there's 1,000 colors of these things. It's called Aurora Sky, and it glows in the dark, which it really doesn't, and it doesn't really matter. But it is a glob of putty that isn't sticky, and you just knead it. K-N-E-A-D, with your hand. And I just realized that, like, when I'm reading something for work or for pleasure, like, I focus more. It's a fidget toy. It's a fidget toy. Like, that's what it is. But I did not realize that I needed it until I had it. And it makes a huge difference. Like, I can't even believe it. And, like, I don't have any, you know, diagnosed things that would have made it obvious to me that a fidget toy would be helpful for me. Mm-hmm. And I actually have some other toys that I have taken from my kids' birthday party goodie bags, like tiny mini Slinkies, the plastic ones, also my favorite. Excellent. I have purchased them from the internet in bulk from orientaltrading.com, which is also a horrible website, but, or great, depending what you think. And I just use them all the time. And now this is like, I think I might be wearing it out and I'm going to have to buy another one. And I went online to look at the various offerings and they are bananas. Like every color. I sent you a link when it was like cryptocurrency themed.
Yes.
It has like little dollar sign sparkles in it. And then the reviews said that it cut somebody. Like they were... like the glitter mylar sparkly sequiny thing like cut their hand.
I can see that. Yeah, because those that's sort of, it looks like the like the little confetti you put on a table for like a party.
Yeah.
And it's like plastic and it's like hard and it might like hit under your nail and like really hurt. So yeah. I kind of understand that review. Do you have one with like the stuff inside or do you just have like a plain?
Well, it has sparkly stuff in it and the sparkle does not come off. Because I was like, when I first opened it, I was like, if this is going to get glitter everywhere. I've also convinced my child that I'm allergic to glitter, like loose glitter, because I can't stand it. So glitter glue is okay in my house, but like bottles of loose glitter, I'm allergic to them. And I have lots of allergies, so this is not like a foreign concept to my kid. But I opened this and was like, if this is going to get glitter on my hands, I'm throwing it into the trash. But it didn't, and not on surfaces either. So I'd like highly recommend that part of it if you are glitter adverse like I am.
If you're allergic, that's right, which I think a lot of parents are.
I'm also allergic to confetti.
Yeah. You and every venue in Brooklyn, by the way, because I looked into that for my wedding and they were like 100% no confetti at all. I guess it's like because they have to, you know, someone has to clean it up at the end of the night. So and these are only like $4, which is like the exact right amount of money you want to spend on like a pile of glop.
Yeah. And it's not like slime. Wow. It's not sticky like slime because slime is – I'm also allergic to slime according
That's
to my
right.
kid. But – and I've probably been playing with this like almost daily for like 4 or 5 months. And I probably – I think I'm ready to buy another one just because like maybe it's just getting a little gross. Like it hasn't changed color or anything, but I'm just like, I don't know. And it's $4. So it's great. Like I'll just buy another ridiculous one.
Nice.
And then – maybe in bulk. I don't know. If there's like an option online somewhere to buy like a grab bag where they send you random things, as long as they're not scented, because there are scented ones too.
Yes.
I do not want a scented one. I will like totally take a grab. I love a grab bag.
It feels like less is more, right? With this kind of thing. It's like, I don't want the plastic in it. I don't want it to smell. Like, I just want something to hold and squish and, like,
yeah,
just run my fingers across. Amazing. And it comes with, like, a little container, I assume, so you can just, like, plop it back in.
Yeah, it's like a little tin, like a, you know, like the Nivea tin.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like basically, I couldn't think of another thing that it was like, but it's like.
No, that's perfect. That's exactly right. Yeah.
It's like the size of a silver dollar. Like, it's perfect. Though I have to hide it for my kid who comes into my office and is like, mommy, I want to play with that. I'm like, no, that's mommy's toy.
No, like, no. It's that's work. That's work putty.
That's work putty.
We can't. That's my work. Toy. That's my work putty.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting? Kate, and I know maybe you don't know this, but I'm on the Crazy Erin's website right now. Mm-hmm. And they seem like an incredible company.
Really?
So I'm looking because there's some job openings. So, of course, I'm like, let me look this up. You know, So they're based in Philadelphia. And Erin himself wrote a Crazy Erin. He signs it Crazy Erin, wrote a memo on the website that says, you know, we work with Philadelphia area vocational centers to employ many exceptional individuals with intellectual and physical disabilities. Which is kind of amazing because I had a conversation with Eileen Shackley, who is she goes by Mama Fry online. She is the mother of a 18-year-old who has autism. And what we talked about a lot in the episode we did together was a lot of different companies who employ young adults and adults with autism because a lot of times, like, a lot of the resources for them sort of, like, run out after they hit school age. Mm-hmm. But these are very capable people who have a lot to offer and who want to work. And so there's all these different companies. There's one called John's Crazy Socks. There's a popcorn company that, like, does, you know, the just B2C, like, show up at your door popcorn, which I will never argue with that. And it looks like Erin's Crazy Putty sort of can fit the bill on that. And they Crazy Erin's Putty fits the bill. And for, they offer, like, all these great, I'm looking at all the jobs, and it's like they offer 100% paid health care. They offer, like, good leave policies. They offer disability. Like, this is, like, a legit, like, company that like, would be probably very good to work for. I really like that.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
I know.
I'll buy extra, Erin.
I know. Now you have to, now you're going to buy stock in the company. I feel like you're going to start investing into the crypto that is Silly Putty.
Oh God. Right. I only want crypto that takes the form of Silly Putty.
Yeah.
So
that's
like,
the next frontier for yeah. sure.
Putty coin? No.
Putty coin. Yeah, they have vacation, personal days paid for. They get development, tuition reimbursement. I'm obsessed. I'm going to buy some. This is like a great thing to support.
It's fun. It really works too. I mean, it helps whatever the thing I need to do happen, like while I'm reading, like where I can just like focus on something this, and then I'm not like, oh, check Twitter. Oh, is there an email? Oh, check your phone. Oh, do this, do that. And I can just read the thing that is in front of my face.
Well, so you technically like read for a living. I mean, that is a big chunk of your job is reading. Yeah. Where does the putty get you? Like, where does it become like your like 911? I need the putty. Like, what part of your job are you like? I need help here. This is too much.
Anything where I really need to focus, and I'm not saying that like the things I'm not employing the putty for aren't things I'm not focused on, but if I'm sitting in my comfy reading chair, reading a manuscript, so a book someone has written that's not been published yet, like I don't always need it, but now that I think about it, I always have something in my hand, to be honest. Like, so yeah, anytime I'm reading that I'm not typing, and it helps really when I'm doing contracts. So another big part of my job is like getting the book contract, reading it for my clients, yelling at everybody who needs to be yelled about what needs to be changed. And I compare documents. So I'm reading two contracts at the same time, one side, line by line, and stopping in the middle of this like huge sentence that's all legalese is really distracting. So it really hones me in. I can just like look at the screen, read the things, forget about Twitter.
Nice. Yeah, it's very difficult to forget about Twitter.
Unfortunately.
I mean, I know. I always say. Okay. I love that. I love Crazy Aaron's thinking putty. And I know you brought one more thing that I don't agree with. I'll just say it. I don't agree with, but I'll let you talk about it. Okay, tell me what that other thing is.
It also has crazy in the title, which is like not planned. Not planned.
Okay.
It's called the goal crazy planner. And I read it in a book called How to Have Fun, The Power of Fun, How to Feel Alive Again.
Wait, that's an amazing book. Wait, who? Oh my God.
Catherine Price. I had seen her previous book called How to Break Up with Your Phone, and I was like, oh yeah, I need that. And I think I looked at that, and I didn't end up reading it, but I picked up this other one. I saw it. I don't remember where I saw it. And I listened to the audiobook because one of my favorite things to do is listen to like self-help audiobooks. They're so easy to digest. And then you're not like not that we're reading books on train, the subway anymore, but you know, like you're not confronted with the physicality of the book.
Yeah.
That's an issue.
And no, so, I mean, we literally just did an episode on this, and I was saying, like, I miss my subway time because, like, and I also have a really hard time listening to fiction on audiobook because sometimes the narrators are so boring and so generic that I, like, will drive off the road. Like, I will be like, it will put me in a hypnotic state where I'm like, woo, like, just like off a cliff. So self-help could be fun. I usually do celebrity memoirs because they're usually narrated by the celebrity. There's a little bit more life. I love this. The Power of Fun, How to Feel Alive Again.
It's really just like kind of encourages you to like really look at what you're doing, see how it makes you feel. Are you enjoying it? Is it transformative? There's a couple of criteria that she says that I've completely forgotten because you've asked me what they are. You know, they've fallen out of my brain. I thought that it was really useful in just saying like, oh, if you'd asked me 2-3 weeks ago, is Twitter fun? I'd be like, yeah, sure. I mean, because I can have a fun relationship with it that other people cannot. But then according to these criteria, it is not fun for me to do that. It is like a distraction. It is like disconnecting. It is like dissociating. And I can, if I'm tired, I should just like lay down instead of like pretend that I'm enjoying reading Twitter at 9 o'clock at night or 11 or 2 or whatever it is. And so anyway, part of the whole thing is like you have to write stuff down to like track whether you like it. And I love to track things. I have so many spreadsheets. I make charts at the end of the year of like everything that I read. I just love a spreadsheet. I make a spreadsheet every day. So this, I know it's
no, calming. I'm very jealous. It's just like we just do not have that in common. I mean, I wish we did. We just don't have in common.
Yeah. So I also have like a robust notebook life where I have like various things that work for me in terms of project management and like the things I have to remember and to-do lists and things like that. And I've really honed it down. It's not exactly bullet journaling, but like I make a to-do list for the week and then every day I make a to-do list and I like literally draw a box and check it off because I find that very satisfying. And so I was like, I don't know that I need this thing, but I kind of bought it. I bought this journal out of desperation or just, you know, like foggy everything. This will change my life kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so it's huge. It's like a full 1.5 inches thick.
Oh, wow. That's like a big like Joe March notebook.
Yeah.
You know, like that's her whole manuscript right there.
Yeah, very much. It's like the biggest Moleskine thing. And it looks like that. It's like the paper looks like that. The cover looks like that. And there are certain colors. There's a couple colors you can get, but it's not like here's Riffle and Paper version of it. Like it's not highly designed. It has 3 ribbon bookmarks, which is like what it sounds like. Those are very fancy in publishing. They cost money to put in there. So I was like, ribbon bookmarks. And so
I'm just thinking about all the things that you see and cannot turn your work brain off from. You're like, wow, that's so expensive. You're like, oh, there's more than 3 colors in this book. That costs like a lot of money. And then these are all things I learned from you, but that's just very funny. Yeah. Okay. So there's 3 ribbons. That's huge. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So there's like a whole like beginning section where you like chart your goals and talk about your dreams. And like, I definitely skipped that. Cause I was like, oh, I'll come back to it. And I have not. And then there's like a monthly overview and then like what I will accomplish this week overview and then a daily review. And it's 2 facing pages and it's like morning prep and evening review on facing pages. And it's like my most impactful goal. I hate the word impactful, but I'm forgiving this journal for it.
Sure.
And then what I'm grateful for, what I'm excited about. And these are like little lists you make and like affirmations and like I'm not like fully buying into this part of it, but I am doing it because it's here and I'm like kind of enjoying it. So I'm like, cool, I don't take it too seriously. And then it's like number one goal for the day and then a checklist of important things, nice to get done. And then the not to do list, which is also very cool. And then spaced for notes. And then the evening review is a positive sentence to describe today, a list of accomplishments, a list of the best moments from today, new ideas section, and then another journal and notes section, and how I will improve tomorrow. There's also like a habit tracker, which I'm like not doing either because like my habits are fine. And it's a lot. And I like it. I just like it.
Okay, so I'm looking at this right now, Kate, and now I'm like, maybe I actually do need it. Putting aside everything I know about myself, the scores of unused journals, two-page full notebooks, just abandoned calendars. And looking at this is tempting. This is tempting. I will say it.
Yeah, I'm very much leaving the things that do not apply to me. There's like a spirituality section for goals. I'm like, nah. There's like an education section. I'm kind of like, well, that means like something different to me. I'm going to be like, that happened. That I'm just going to make that newsletter, you know, or whatever.
Sure, sure.
And like, I'm just like not, if it doesn't appeal to me, I'm not doing it. But more of it is appealing to me than not. So I'm getting use out of it. But the other kicker is that this is 3 months. This whole book is
90 days,
3 months. Yeah. And I'm not even using it on the weekends. I know. So it's like $100 a year in $120, either like $35, you know, it's like $150 a year worth of planners, which, oh gosh.
But like, you know what though? This is like so good for the planner people. Like, because I'll tell you, I'll buy one and there'll be like four like meticulously like detailed days. And then we'll never see it again. And then we'll never see it again. And I might as well just take a $20 bill and like spark a match and just like let it burn. But like planner people will love this. Like I too was, you know, horny for a bullet journal at one point in my life. Like, but I just don't have, I don't know. There's something about for me, and this is like, I guess what makes us different is that like writing it down, I am not like a crosser offer of to-do items. I just have like a list of things in my Google Calendar or like on a literal like piece of like scrap paper next to my, I just held it up. Just writing things down that I don't forget. But like, I don't have like, I don't come to each day with like a plan. The most I can do is I keep a calendar on my desk so I at least know what day it is. And I have, you know, my Pomodoro timer. So at least I'm like, okay, well, if I'm going to do this task, I will time it out so that I can just be like, you know, this is how long it's going to take to do this thing. But the way that I live is so like keeping track of like everything in my brain, which is weird. Like a couple of days ago, I had a doctor's appointment, like just a psychiatry appointment on the phone on Monday. And the medical system is so backed up that they called me in September and they were like, your doctor is like scheduling for February. Like, are you free on February 7th? And I'm like, yeah, it's September. Like, I don't have plans on February 7th. Like let me check. Yeah, no, I have something at 8:30. So I scheduled it for 9 a.m. I never put it in my calendar, but I knew I had it. It was just in my head. Oh my gosh. I know. I don't know what it is, but I feel like the planner people give it all up to the planner. And then you're able to move things out of your brain. And for me, I've never been able to like trust that I'll come back to the planner to find the thing that I wrote down. So it all just stays up here. And I wonder if I'm just doing myself a disservice or if this is just like how I operate. And, you know,
if it's Godspeed to me. But I think,
Is working? Similar to the question, what is fun? What is you know?
What is working? Right. And the one thing I will say is that I don't know that this has exactly made me more productive, except for it has given me like a broader view of it. Like I'm looking at a month at a time instead of a day or a week at a time. And I'm like, oh, well, I actually want to get these X things read this month. Okay, well then I have to do them on this Tuesday and that Tuesday. You know, like it breaks it down a little bit. So I think I'm getting a bigger picture, which I think is definitely going to help Like, one of the huge, like, biggest complaints about agents, and I'm so guilty of this, is that it takes forever for us to read things. And it just does. Like, reading takes a long time. And I would like to get a little better about that, especially for the people who are my actual clients, who I love. You all are fantastic. and I'm sorry I'm slow. But it's just like all of a sudden, like 3 weeks can go by and you're like, where did the, what? Like, you just sent me that. And they're like, I sent you that 3 weeks ago. And it's like, in a vacuum, I could read a thing in 3 weeks, but it's not a vacuum. So this is going to definitely help with that. But it also, the whole gratitude-y stuff, like, I think it is helping, you know, like.
Hey, come on. I depend on my New York friends to not do the gratitude stuff. I'm surrounded by it here. Everyone's like, oh, the vibes. I'm like so grateful for the sun. And I'm like, get me back to New York where everyone's literally like, oh yeah, there's a gratitude page. And I just ripped it out and like wiped my ass with it. And I'm like, those are my people. Those are my people.
Don't tell anyone that I'm saying this.
All right. Well, you are live on the podcast. So what are you grateful for today, Kate? What's it making you feel?
I put down that I get to talk to Caroline on her podcast today. Oh,
okay. Well, that one's fine. That one is fine. I love that one.
That's in my what am I excited about phase, actually, okay. I have to say. And I'm seeing Company this weekend in Broadway.
Oh,
I'm
that's fine. Die.
Oh, my God. I love it. But I just like can't even. But I did actually write down that I'm thankful for bananas on this today because sure. I've been having a lot of like heartburn and they're very good for that. And I was reaching for that. But well, you know what? Bananas
that
are
is
awesome.
Gratitude a lot. That honestly, if I've learned anything from Brené Brown, you just it is like, you know, I'm grateful for bananas.
I haven't had a lot of bananas recently. And you know what? Sure. They're Earth's candy.
Good for Charlie horse too. If you wake up with like muscle pain,
right? Yeah,
good potassium. Potassium. I know. This is where my mother actually, you know, inhabits my body and is like potassium. And I'm like, where did that come from? How did she know that? Okay, I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm gonna buy this. I'm gonna buy it.
I want to see. Yeah. Oh, the other thing I did, and I will show this to you that people can't see, is that I put a sticker on the front, a big sticker from the sticker book that I could also tell you about because it has a big logo on the front. And I was like, I don't want to look at your logo. It's debossed. So it's like stamped in. And I was like, I don't want to look at your logo. But I guess I could tell you about one more thing. I have this huge sticker book. It's called the Antiquarian Sticker Book. And there's 1,000 Victorian stickers in it. And I'm showing Caroline right now.
Oh my God,
video.
My face is like, oh my gosh, I need that. Is that I'm literally writing that down as this will be a gift for next year's gift guide. That looks amazing.
Oh my gosh. It's $25. I'm sure I actually need to check that it's still available. Like, because it did sell out in the holidays. This is old. This is like several years old, but this is also another toy that my child does not get to play with. And like, I just put stickers on things and there's 1,000 of them. So you're not like precious about them. Like you got to use your stickers. Like don't hoard your stickers. Like this is a problem. This is a planner person problem.
This is amazing because you know what? Like, remember being a kid and you'd collect stickers and you wouldn't want to take them out of the packages. Like you couldn't really enjoy them. Like I really like the idea of like being able to enjoy stickers as an adult. Well, you definitely sold me on this. This is really incredible.
Ooh, it's amazing.
And I want to kill it. Okay. This is also, I didn't realize this is actually, it says it's on sale right now. It's half off right now. It's $13. Go buy it before this episode comes out. Like go buy another one.
Yeah. I might need
like,
to.
This is a great present. This is amazing. I actually didn't realize that like adult sticker books came around with adult coloring books.
No, I don't think this is a big trend thing. I think this is an individual thing that this one publisher, it's called Odd Dot. It's a part of Macmillan. I know that the guy who used to run the place is like this really awesome person. And I think, I don't know if he came up with this idea. I don't know who did. But I think they did it in-house. Like it was a thing. They were like, let's do a thing. And it's just a great idea. And I can't think of another thing like it. Like, I don't know if they did a follow-up that was like pop art or like something. I don't think so. But because printing these is just bonkers. Like so expensive. It has to be done definitely in China.
I can't even imagine you enjoying this because you'd just be like, oh my God, this costs so much to me. Like this.
I know.
I can't even imagine you just being able to like, just take, like, I know how your mind works, you know, and yeah. Everything you taught me about like how much different fonts cost is like enough to give me nightmare. Like, okay, it's $13 right now.
You should buy it. It's really good. And it has paper feeling. They're like, it's not shiny. They're like matte. Yeah.
Ooh, and there's leathers. Wow. I'm like literally like sweating excited. This is going to be a big one, Kate. Like this is going to.
I'm so glad.
This is going to go places.
I might email somebody at the publisher being like, FYI.
Oh, please do. Give them a heads up.
I might.
And then be like, you know, send us both free books if you want. Yeah. You know, just for work. Because it's work. Yeah.
We're influencing right now.
And I this is very cool. This is a great gift guide purchase.
Also would be so good for a tween, especially like a goth tween or something, or like a romance tween. Like, yeah.
This with romance like basic tween. Witches, I mean, shout out, but like would be like a good little like book bundle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love it. Different publishers.
Yeah.
Different publisher, but still, you could bundle it as a buyer of books.
Yeah. A bookseller could put it together.
Exactly. Anyway. Exactly. Oh, I love this so much. Okay. Well, you've sold me now on the sticker book and the planner. I'm going to try it. I'm glad it's only 90 days because it definitely won't make it to 90 days. But if I only use like 3 pages, I'll just rip those out and send you one. You don't have to buy another one.
Amazing. It is undated too. It is undated.
Oh, okay. So we could revisit year after year. I mean, mm-hmm. I will forever cherish my COVID diary that I kept for 3 days in March 2020 that literally read like a Dear America book. Yeah, there you go. She's holding up her COVID diary.
It is,
You would think I was Kirsten on the ship from Sweden being like, I'm under my bed and like I have my friend has cholera and like my dad is like very upset. That I really sound like I'm performing some sort of like historic diary for 3 pages and then it's just like doodles and then just nothing ever happened to it.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Well, speaking of writing projects that I never finished or started, I would love to pivot. Usually we don't do this, but because you're here and because we work together and because the publishing industry is still is full of so many questions, I think it's a industry that is often shrouded in mystery. I want to maybe bring your newsletter to life a little bit, especially for listeners who might be interested. I want to ask you like a few frequently asked questions that I'm sure you get that I know I had when I started. And that I still even knowing the answer, am not totally confident the answer hasn't changed or that like, you know, oh, actually this is a case by case thing. So a little background on us is that you found me during the time when I did the Your Way Message Twitter feed. You reached out to me and I was 24 and I remember thinking, I'm going to be a millionaire now. Like, this is it. Like, this is it. I'm going to be a millionaire. Like, I've hit it. I think it was my big break in a lot of ways. I still consider it my big break. But in my mind, I was like, Mom, Dad, I don't have to work anymore. I don't have to have a job. And like, you know, I'll pay off your mortgage. But we were like, what is,
really glad you
know,
you
what
didn't tell me that then.
Well, I feel like I might. Yeah, I probably, guys, I think I Maybe figured out did. Pretty quickly that did not happen. But we wanted to make a book out of this was sort of still at the kind of peak of like, you know, Tumblr to book, Urban Outfitter books kind of time period. And we were like, well, what would a book about this culture look like? And you know the answer, Kate, is the show Pen 15. And every day, I get very sad that I didn't think of that. But one day, maybe they'll want me in their writer's room. Who knows?
Oh, man. That's true. That's totally right.
But it's that show is so perfect, and I'm so happy it exists. And it exists in the same, you know, the time capsule of Your Way message. But we basically, you know, I didn't know what an agent did. So FAQ number one, what is it? You know, who is an agent? What does an agent do?
So a literary agent is just like an actor's agent, but with books, which is like the tiny thing, especially for like the West Coast crowd. We help writers get book deals. We work with the writers. We don't work for the publishers because my mother was like, oh, what publisher do you work for? And I say all of them because it's true. Right. And so I'm the author's advocate and I answer all the questions and I like have all the experience and I'm not afraid to go ask for more money because that's literally my job.
And can a writer who has a book get their book published without an agent?
Yes, but it is harder. It's like yes, asterisk, because there are plenty of people who like an editor reaches out to them and said, hey, you're awesome. Will you write a book? Here's a contract. And like, you're not gonna like be immediately screwed. You know, I mean, the publisher works for themselves. They're not advocating for you. So you have to advocate yourself, but it's not like the worst idea in the whole entire world. And there's also publishers who you could self-publish. You could do it all by yourself. Like that's totally reasonable and fine and advantageous. But like the big publishers, what we call the big five, Penguin Random House, Simon & Schuster, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And many of the other ones, which I call mid-majors, like Chronicle Books and Abrams, and they're all still like very big companies, you know,
right.
They do not accept what we call unsolicited manuscripts. So you can't just be like, hey, editor, I found on Twitter, read my book. They'll be like, guess what? No. And they don't do this to be like mean. They just do this because they would get 4 billion books. And now instead they get 400, you know, like the tide is still huge, but, they just can't accept all those manuscripts. So I am that kind of floodgate before and the editor reads it.
So don't you then get also yes. FYI, I'm asking these questions on behalf of, I imagine these are some of the most frequently like asked questions you get. I think I know the answer. So I'm asking I'm just saying I'm really smart. I know the answers. I just want everyone to know that. But then doesn't that mean you get 4 billion yes. books?
Yes.
Okay. And so how do you manage that?
Well, it's funny because people who if they're looking at my stuff online and be like, hey, isn't it open to queries? Well, so I'm not currently open to queries because I have like kind of a full plate. But in before times, people just email me things and there's as much information as I can put out there about what I like and what I want. And some of it is amorphous. I can't tell you exactly. It's not a prescription for a book, but mm-hmm. it's like, I don't really do a lot of thrillers. So don't send me your thriller, but I like mm-hmm. romance and I like YA and I like science fiction and fantasy and pop culture and blah, blah, blah. So writers do the best job that they can to figure out who to send to. And this is why I have this newsletter is because that's completely impossible to do. There's not just like one agent database where you just like look it up and type in a name and like it spits out information. It's like, it's all over the place. And while I don't have, even my newsletter isn't really a database in that way, it hopefully helps people sort through some stuff. So it's hard to get all that information. And then you have to figure out who the right agent is. And people should send to more than one agent. They should send to 50 if they need to.
So you're allowed to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. They're called simultaneous submissions. And like, yes, you definitely can and should. Like you should. Like the agent should fight over you. Like
okay.
You, the author, have all the power. Like you think that everybody thinks the agents have the power and we do. We can say yes or no, but like we could say yes and you say no to us. You know, like sure. You'd be like, yeah, I got a better offer from somebody. Like, sure. So I can't do anything unless you have written a good book, you know, right.
And being open to queries means that, like, you have specific times when your email is literally open and people can send you.
It's just sending me an email. Like, you just send an email into the ether and it comes to me. You know, it's just like.
How do you feel when someone knows that you're closed for queries from, like, December 1st to, like, March 1st and you still get an email?
I have a specific email I send in response that says I'm closed to queries. And I send a link to a specific post for my newsletter. It says like, this is what this means and this is why, which is both hopefully, intends to be informative. Whether they then subscribe to my newsletter or not is up to them. But like, I really mean it to be like, this is what this means, you know? And generally on the whole, I mean, like, there's always a bad apple, but like, they're like, oh, sorry. And like, that's fine. Like,
yeah,
I know that this stuff is hard. It's like no harm, no foul.
Do you want those people to like resubmit when you're open, or do you ever go back to the ones that came in when you're not reading emails?
I delete them. I can't. Like, I just delete them. They could resend.
You don't have like a save. Okay. Yeah. No. Awesome. Okay. So, well, we know, you and I know, that first book about like away messages, like we never sold it. It kind of came, like, there were editors who were interested in like different iterations of it, but it almost seemed like the moment had passed, and then Hey Ladies kind of came up and we like moved into that, that sort of voice of that sort of time and in a young girl's life. So when you have an agent, you take a percentage. You don't take any money up front. I don't pay you to be my agent. It comes in the form of, if my book is purchased by a publisher, you get a percentage of that purchase.
Yeah. Commission. Yeah.
Yeah.
Domestic agents, so like agents in the United States, make 15% off the top. That is not negotiable. Sorry. Not that you are negotiating with me, but some people like to try. And that's not negotiable up either. You can't say, if you be my agent, I'll give you 50%. I can't. I can't take
More than 50. Like, sell my book and I'll give you. Okay, I got it.
Yeah. I can't take it. And then the way the money flows is that, like, okay, if Random House buys your book, Random House sends the agency the check. We take 15% and then we give the rest to you. And that's every dollar all the time. You know, like, if... You know, if it, do you sell the audiobook, blah, 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 like all these different things, like it just goes that way. And that's just standard. That's just the way it does. It works that way in film too.
Yeah. And then the film rights is like a totally separate thing. And so you guys work in tandem with someone who handles like the TV and film representation of a book.
Yeah.
Very cool. Okay. All right. So I have a published book and I have several published children's books. How much of a book would you need, a new book would you need from me? Like, when do you get to a point where, oh, I have an idea, I'm going to call my agent and we can just sell this based on an idea and I don't actually have to produce, someone pays me before I have to produce a book. I know the answer for me, but like, I know there's some people who call their agents with ideas and that's,
yeah.
And it's like, write me three pages.
It highly depends, and which is the most common answer in publishing and the most satisfying. And I think if you wanted to write a nonfiction proposal and you gave me a 3-page proposal that said, like, this is what it is, this is what I'm going to do, this is who I am, we could sell that because you have a track record in nonfiction.
Are you talking to me specifically?
Yes, you specifically. Oh,
that's good.
Caroline.
That's good to know. I would love to do that soon.
I mean, it still has to convey enough information so that they know what the book actually is.
Yeah,
It can't just be like, I'm cool, I have an idea. You know,
darn. Okay, yeah. Well, moving on. Yeah.
I mean, like Lady Gaga could do that, or like, I don't know, somebody like bonkers famous. But most of the time, if it's a fiction project, if it's a novel, and it's your first one, unless you were Lady Gaga, like you have to write the whole thing. And there's a very tiny asterisk for that because like there can be situations, but the other thing I say in publishing all the time is don't assume you're the exception, you know, like, and a lot of times you got to write the whole thing to figure out what happens or like how it's going to turn out. You know, like there are plenty of really, not really, but there are plenty of good ideas I think I have. And then I try to like game it out, whether it's my own, cause I'm a writer too. And like, whether it's for my personal writing or somebody else, I'm like, oh, this is just a beginning. There's no ending here, you know? And so sometimes you gotta write it to figure out if it's actually a book.
That's like the worst part for me.
Oh yeah.
Writing it's the worst part. And it just like has to happen on your own time. And there's like nothing anyone can do. You just have to sit there and write. And like, it just sucks. Because a lot of it is like, you want the gratification part, right? You want to be like, I sold my book. Like, oh my God, the cover. Like, but talk to anybody who writes books for a living. There's so few people who are like, I actually love every bit of the writing process. Like, I've even heard from, you know, Ellen Hildebrand herself that like, she brought her 17th novel to her editor and her editor was like, I don't think this is it. Like, I think you need to start from this point in the book, which I think she told me was like 80% of the way into the book. And we need to bring it back and we have to tell it from this perspective. And she was like, so pissed because she's like, I've done this so many times. Like, what do you mean this isn't it? But even like the most brilliant, like routined, seasoned writers who have books coming out like clockwork still get told like, this isn't going to, like, this is not going to work. And it's fun to get the money up front, but it just doesn't really happen like that. And speaking of money, you know, like, what do you get paid to, what do people get paid to write a book?
It's funny too, because the non-helpful answer I have for this is like more than 1,000, less than 100,000, because like generally speaking, that's how much people get paid. And right. like if you're writing a straight up novel, you know, it's just like a good novel. It's not, you know, 750,000 word science fiction or something just like out of the ordinary. If you get $10,000 for your novel, like that's great. Like,
yeah,
that's awesome. It's not a living wage. Like that's a whole other problem. And publishers are not here to provide a living wage to writers because you're not an employee of the publisher. That's the like legalese reason, you know, like it's, but
it's, you're like a contracted, you're like a, you get like a 1099, you know, you get, or whatever that is. Yeah. You have to provide a W-9. It's literally just like, oh, I have this gig for a couple months, but it takes the time of a full-time job. And I think that that's what's so difficult about it. I mean, full disclosure, you know, Michelle and I made, I think we, the book ended up, Hey Ladies ended up getting into a little bit of a bidding war. And I think it ended up at like 40,000 and split between us. And after the percentage that we pay to you and we paid to our film and TV rights, I think it ended up being about 16,000 each, which is not no money. But I think there is that misconception that's like, whoa, you wrote a book, like you must be a millionaire.
Sold at auction. Yeah.
Yeah. But also like, oh, I bought your book on Amazon and I paid $16. So you just got $16. It's like, no, I actually got like 85 cents.
Basically $1.50.
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure.
And how does,
for sure.
And how does like royalties work? Do you have to pay those back? When do you start making money? Like, what's the deal with royalties? Is it better to get a ton of money up front and then maybe not, you know, like what is, how do you feel about royalties? What do you say when your clients ask?
So one, I always say, take the money and run. Like,
sure.
But so here's how it works. So when we say you got $10,000 for your book deal, that's an advance. And it's literally what the word means. The publisher is paying you in advance against your future earnings of those sales. And every time you somebody buys that book and you they say you get $60, no, you get 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12%, like depending on the kind of book and the deal, like all these different things of the purchase price usually. And there's so many asterisks involved because every book is different. And like a highly illustrated book has different royalty structure. This is too much information, but, so you have this bucket, the advance bucket, and you have to fill it up with sales. And once you hit $10,000, the earnings you get over that is what is called your royalties. And they're your money. You get them. Hopefully most books do not earn out the advance, as we call it, and royalties only pay out twice a year. So it's not monthly. It's not a paycheck. It's twice a year.
What if I sold my book and like it was supposed to be like the next huge book and it was like, oh, I got on all these TV shows, like these talk shows about it, and I got a huge advance and it was, you know, I got a $500,000 advance because the publishing company made this big bet that this book was going to be like massive and it did not sell anywhere close to that. Do I have to pay any of that money back?
No.
Will it be harder for me to get another book deal?
At that level, for sure. Like, it depends. Like, you don't owe the advance back. The only way you owe the advance back is if you like don't write the book and you like break the contract.
Sure.
And then you do have to pay it back. Or if you like plagiarize, so here you are with your big $500,000 advance and you're coming to the next book, if it's like too close to the book that didn't perform as well. And we mean perform as well. Like you don't have to earn out your advance to perform well. If that book, still sold 100,000 copies, they're going to be just happy as a clam to sign up your next book, even if you did not earn royalties, you know.
Yeah.
The book can still be successful if you don't earn as much money as they thought. Whether you're always going to get 500,000, like probably not. But it doesn't automatically go back down to the exact number that you sold before. You know, it's just like nothing is scientific about publishing. It is all guesswork. Yeah. And then it kind of like can depend on how much they want to keep you. Like if they think that you could go away because you're like, oh, well, I didn't sell because you guys did a bad job. I'm going to go away. Then they might give you more money to keep you if they want to keep you. So
interesting.
It's a lot of different things that go into it. But that's one of the hardest things about being a writer is that you can sell a book and there's no guarantee you'll sell another, and it won't be – there's no guarantee it'll be the same amount of money. So it's starting fresh every single time.
Yeah.
So it's tough.
What's the percentage of authors or books that go – that become like, you know, Elizabeth Gilbert status?
Like 0.00001, like,
yeah,
like, and you have to remember there are like millions of books sold a year or like published a year, and we still count books like, you know, like coloring books, not like Barbie coloring books, but like everything that has an ISBN, which is like the barcode on the back, like, is a book. Yeah. And there's no data that says like, okay, well, how many romance novels does this, blah, blah, blah. There's no data in publishing. Like, if you're a tech person and you want to know, like, how many books your book sold that day, like, no one literally will ever be able to tell you that number. It just doesn't exist. And there's lots of reasons that we don't need to get into for that. That's, like, a whole other podcast. The economics of publishing. I probably wrote a newsletter about it, but...
Well, I was going to say, like, if that helps you answer any of your kind of basic questions about publishing, or it leaves you having even more questions, that is when you subscribe to Kate's newsletter. Because I'm telling you, like, even as a client, even as somebody who has now been doing this, I mean, technically for 10 years, we'll say on and off for 10 years because I haven't written anything in a while. But it is super helpful because, like, you really just don't. It literally varies from person to person, from book to book. And I feel like what ends up happening with the publishing industry is like the biggest stories are always the exceptions and not the rules, right? Like this woman who I actually know because she used to date one of Jan's friends, TJ Newman is her pen name. She wrote Falling, which was like the summer's biggest thriller. She was an airline attendant and she wrote the book over the course of like 6 years on the back of like napkins, and she had to do like 30 rewrites or whatever. And it was just an amazing story. She got a 7-figure advance. Oof. Like I think Universal bought the rights before the book even came out. Like that doesn't happen. That's like magic, like struck by lightning. But there's because so many of these questions have all these like caveats. So I would really direct everybody who's interested to subscribe to Agents and Books, because all of these questions have either been answered or you can literally ask questions and Kate will answer them for you. Can you tell everybody the subscribing model of Agents and Books?
Sure. Every Tuesday there's a free newsletter and I try to keep that really nuts and bolts, you know, like how does a query letter work, blah, blah, blah. And then paid subscriptions are $5 a month or $50 a year. And if you are paid member, you get Thursdays where I do Q&A Thursday, which is literally you can ask me questions. And then I have this thing called the 50 Queries Club, which is if you have queried 50 agents and you have not gotten an agent, you can submit information on this form and I will help tell you what's wrong with your thing in the newsletter.
Wow.
Like, yeah. No identifying details. Like I'm really slow at it. Like, cause like I only do one a week. but I think the whole goal of it is to kind of like pull back the curtain, be like, oh, when you said this is what I thought, you know, or like, I'm confused about your plot or like whatever. I don't spam people. Like I don't, everybody's like more email, like Substack is like send more newsletters. Like nobody wants any more newsletters. Like nobody wants. So it's just Tuesday, Thursday. I'm real casual. I try to be really honest without being like, I can't be mean. I'm Southern. Like I'm never going to be like, this is dumb, you know, but, just trying to do.
Yeah, I mean, $5 a month is a really good deal. It's literally like straight to the source. And I feel like a lot of these questions, like if you were to be like, oh, I'm not going to pay $5 a month, I'll just Google them. Like you will never find an answer on Google. Mm-mm. Like these are questions that like you really do have to go to like the professional to get the answers to. And if you're somebody out there who's like, I want to write a book or I've written a book and I really don't know what to do now. Or like Kate said, like, oh, I've queried a bunch of agents, but, you know, no bites. And I just feel like I'm doing something wrong, or I've taken all these classes and it's just like not coming up, like these questions will be answered for you. And I just think it's like a really invaluable resource. And I'm very proud to be a client, even though, newsflash, this podcast was started because I was avoiding having to write.
I know.
I'm famous for like texting Kate being like, I have the best idea ever. And then she won't hear from me again for like 3 years. And then I'll be like, Kate, I have the best idea ever. She's like, same idea as last time. I'm like, no, different idea. Never will it come out. It's Listen, because it's have, hard. It's hard. Super hard.
Listen, I'm a writer. I have tried to sell 4 books. I have an agent. None of them have worked. They've been vastly different. My agent is lovely and amazing. His name is Michael Barrett. I love you, Michael. And I've known him for 20 years. Mm-hmm. And just like, yeah, which is also a weird thing. And I've been honest about this on my podcast, newsletter, where like a little like those who can't teach, maybe, or like, I don't know, maybe I won't ever sell a book.
But it's a totally different job. It's a different job.
It's also a crapshoot because I don't have a magic wand to make myself get published. So I don't have a magic wand to make anybody else get published. All I can do is like use my expertise, give my clients the best shot, because I can't promise that anybody will get published. I would never. I don't control it. I can't send Random House an invoice. For a book deal, So,
anybody out there who is promising like, oh, by the end of this e-course or by the end of this, you'll get published. Like that's a red flag and do not pay for that because it really just doesn't work like that. Mm-hmm. But it's all about literally if you have all of this knowledge, it will push you in a more, I think, efficient direction in terms of getting published, because at least then you won't be sitting there scratching your head being like, I just tried this code and I don't even know where the keypad is, which is honestly a lot of what kind of diving into a world of publishing, not knowing anything about it, it feels like. It's like, I know I have to like crack the code. I don't even know what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's also, I do talk a lot about writing too and like the craft side of it. So if you're like not ready to get published or you're just like, I don't know what I want to do. Like, we'll do talk about like how to edit, how to figure out if you should even finish this. Like, oh, maybe I'll write that tomorrow.
Pointed at me specifically.
Yeah. I didn't. I was like finger guns, not like.
No, but like I'll feel like it's for me. And it's like, oh, here's all my like 400 page Google Docs that have like no actual plot.
I mean, me too. Like I have a book coming out this year with a client that I signed up 10 years ago, and she's been working on this book for 8 years. And like,
amazing.
It happens. It just publishing is the longest game possible. It's so slow and long.
Yeah. And if you're getting in it to make money, to be famous, it's not just go to law school, go to med school. Go to TikTok. Exactly.
Like, way more likely to get famous and rich on TikTok than you are in publishing. You're like,
I know,
better off finding $50 on the street. Like,
I know. And I would love to do all of that and more. So, I mean, maybe. Kate McKeon, thank you so much for joining us. I will link to everything that we talked about, from the planner to the stickers. I really hope they're still on sale by the time this episode comes out. I might even like get the jump on and like put it on stories and just be like, run, it's don't so walk. Good. I mean, it's $13 right now. To the putty, which I love, Crazy Aaron. this was a great productivity episode. I mean, I'm really excited for my planner to come, and I will keep my promise that should I only use 3 pages, I will send it to you, and that can be your next 90 days. I promise.
I'll enshrine those 3 pages.
Like, try to sell them as a book if you can. I mean, let's just see how much we can get for that.
A book $7. Somebody's used planner would be hilarious.
Actually, we should talk about that. That could be my next humor. There's something there. I'm actually not even going to put that part in the show. That's too good of an idea. Kate, awesome. And I will, of course, list where you can subscribe to Agents and Books. Can't recommend it enough. Kate, where can everybody find you on Instagram, Twitter, your social media of choice?
I am at Kate_McKeon on all the things.
Excellent. Wow. We love consistency in branding.
But I had to do the underscore. Like, why?
Yeah, no, anyway, I know. Did someone else have Kate McKeon?
No, I have both of them.
Oh, wow. All right. Okay, that's not bad.
A decision I made 15 years ago. I don't know. Anyway.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for joining. And we're so happy to have had you here.
Thanks for having me. Yeah. Yay. It's great. Talk to you soon.
You just listened to another episode of G-Thanks Just Bought It, edited and mixed by Veronica Grupa and produced and hosted by me, Caroline Moss. In between episodes, you can always head to the GThanks Instagram at GThanksJustBoughtItPod and the GThanks Facebook group to get and give life-changing recommendations of your own. Subscribe to our weekly sale and discount emails at gthanks.substack.com. It's free. And you can reach me at caroline@gthanksjustbought.com or leave me a message at 424-245-0736 with a product recommendation, and you may be featured on an upcoming episode. GThanks is powered by subscribers like you. To keep all of our GThanks content free and accessible to all, consider making a monthly donation of $2 to keep us going at patreon.com/GThanks and friends.